right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's one of our special trailer roundup episodes that we do at the beginning of each month, and we will be looking at a bunch of trailers for May 2023 films with returning co-host Jason Harris from Awesome Movie Year. So that is coming up here in a second. But before we get to it, I do have a couple of other things I need to go over before we get into the conversation. So first of all, this weekend was the amazing Las Vegas Comic Con, which I was at and had a really good time. It was over at the Las Vegas Convention Center, and I was there with Derek Sante from Review Nation, and we were giving out all kinds of movie-related goodies at his booth, and I met a lot of really cool people. A lot of people followed us on social media, and so if you're one of our new listeners from the amazing Las Vegas Comic Con, thank you for joining the show. And, you know, as always, I love hearing from everybody. So let me know how you like piecing it together once you start getting into some of these episodes. And as far as the convention itself, I mean, it was a really cool thing to see that kind of nerd movie comic book, you know, kind of convention. You always see them like San Diego and all those, you know, the big ones. But it's great to see something like that here in Las Vegas. And I could see this getting bigger and bigger. I mean, Vegas, we've got all the sports stuff happening now. So there's no reason why Vegas can't be a huge center for everything entertainment as well, and for something like Amazing Las Vegas Comic Con to just absolutely blow up in the years to come. So hopefully I'll have a bigger presence next year. I would love to maybe do like a live show there or something like that. We'll see if we can make something like that happen. But yeah, really cool event. And next year we'll make sure to let you guys know about it, and hopefully you'll see me there. Also, before we get into the May trailers, as always, I got to read some listener puzzle pieces, and we have a lot actually this time around. So every trailer episode, I always take some time out to read any puzzle pieces sent in by listeners of the show for movies we covered in the previous month. And it was actually a very busy month on Piecing It Together. We had a lot of episodes, and I got a bunch of listener puzzle pieces. So let's get through some of these. Starting off, we did a super episode on John Wick Chapter 4, and Joe Black, friend of the show and many time co-host Joe Black, who actually I think sent in puzzle pieces for every single movie I'm about to bring up here. But Joe Black brought up Woody Allen's Love and Death, which he sent me a clip from. And I mean, you know, spoilers for, you know, John Wick Chapter 4. But when John Wick, he takes some bullets, let's just say, and the bullets are in like literally the same place as Woody Allen. So, I mean, and it's happening during a duel. So, I mean, come on. I think that's a great puzzle piece and definitely deserves to be mentioned here. Also, David Mikor, who's been on the show before, he mentioned Godfather 3 because of the final shot. And I got to admit, I've never seen Godfather 3. It's on my catch-up list. It's one of those classics that I've just never gotten around to. I know, you know, whether or not it's a good one is, you know, up for debate, but I've never seen Godfather 3, and one of these days I'm going to finally make that happen. And then last but not least, at least like three or four people all wrote in to ask how we could have left out the Warriors, because of course, the whole, all the gangs coming to get John Wick, and of course, Nowhere to Run playing, how could you not bring up the Warriors? I honestly think everybody that was on the Super episode thought of it, and just everybody thought each other was going to use that one, and so they left them off their pieces list. But definitely, the Warriors as a puzzle piece for John Wick Chapter 4, it has to be on the list for sure. Moving on to Air, Ben Affleck's latest movie as a director, and of course also a star. Joe Cox wrote in Draft Day because of all of the phone-based negotiation scenes, which, yeah, absolutely, that's a great piece right there. And Joe Black again brought up The Founder, which I thought we mentioned The Founder. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. I don't remember. I know we brought up The Founder on Tetris. And as we mentioned, Tetris, Air, we've got BlackBerry coming out, Flaming Hot. There's a lot of these true stories of brands movies. So, you know, if we didn't bring it up, it certainly fits. And yeah, you know, it's a good one. Also, Mafia Mama was another episode we did in April, which Joe Black was the guest on, but he wrote in Married to the Mob as one of his favorite movies, which he forgot to mention on the episode. So throw that in as an extra puzzle piece. And my mom sent in Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, the classic Sylvester Stallone comedy. So yeah, thanks, Mom. That's a great one. Next up was Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. Joe Black sent in 3 puzzle pieces for this one. So thank you, Joe, for continuing to send these in. He sent in the BBC Narnia movies from the 80s, Mystic Knights of Tir Na N'og, a TV series that I don't know anything about, to be honest with you, and A Knight's Tale, of course, with Heath Ledger, which, yeah, absolutely. That's a great one and definitely fits there. And then last up was our 300th episode of Piecing It Together, the live episode we recorded at Maya Cinemas on Evil Dead Rise. Joe Black was on that show, but he also sent in as an extra puzzle piece, Bucket of Blood, because of the cat in the vent. I never heard of that movie. I don't know anything about that, so I'll have to take his word on that one. But Dan Berlew, who was actually in the audience at the show, he mentioned Wreck for the hallway scene, which absolutely the vibe of that. And I think that kind of fits in with some of those Japanese horror remakes that we were talking about, but definitely that fits really well. So great listener puzzle piece to throw in there. And as always, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Always send in your puzzle pieces because I love hearing from you and I love reading them on the next trailer episode. So with that said, let's get into some trailers for May 2023. Jason Harris is back with us for another month of trailers. Jason, how are you doing?
Dave. So many movies. Pulling the collar. Eyeballs rolling out. Tongues coming out of my... Whoa, steam coming from my head. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Birds flying around.
I need to insert a sound effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are a lot of movies coming up this month. I actually, in making our list, I had to leave off a whole bunch because otherwise we'd be here all day talking about these things. But yeah, it's a stacked month again, and that's exciting.
Actually, what I found interesting about the list you made is I watched the ones that were covering first, and then I watched the ones that are also coming out that we're not covering. And the ones you left off are like so... There's probably much more interesting than a lot of the ones you put on.
I agree. And the weird thing, and like, we'll talk about it once we like kind of go through a little speed round of some of those other movies, is I feel like it's November, December Oscar season or something like that. Like there's all these limited releases that don't have like set wide release dates yet. And so I was like, you know, I don't want to have that whole thing where we cover it and then it doesn't actually come out for another 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So I stuck to the basics. But before we get into this month's movies, let's look at last month's movies real quick and see what we thought. We covered Paint on the trailer episode last month, which I did not see. I heard mixed things on. Did you watch it?
No, it seemed like it was DOA, right? Like once people saw, they're like, this isn't good.
Yeah. The next one I also didn't see, Chupa, which I don't know. I felt like there was a lot of buzz going into it, and then it came out and just... absolutely no noise whatsoever.
I don't think there was any buzz.
Yeah, I saw a lot leading up to us recording that episode, but yeah, nobody talked about it once it came out, so I guess that's disappeared. But the next one, though, I'm really looking forward to, and I just haven't had a chance to go to. It's in the theater still, though, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, which I've heard nothing but great things about.
Yeah, I really want to see that. People say it's pretty much, like, if not the best, one of the best movies to come out this year. But
yeah,
we are failing the audience so far, Dave.
So far, so bad. And it's going to continue because back on the Strip, I don't even know why we included it. I'm not sure if that's a movie that actually came out.
You know,
it's one of those.
You make the list, movies. Bro.
Sometimes I like to include these like straight to VOD movies just to kind of mix it up a little bit. And yeah, I don't know if that's a movie that happens. Possibly. But the next one definitely came out. Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which... I don't know. Mixed results. I know some people said it kind of sucks. Josh Bell said it kind of sucks. But some people really liked it. I don't know.
Well, if Josh says it sucks, let's all never go see it. He knows everything.
That's your best friend you're talking about.
Right? Yeah, well, he can't hear this. So what is he? You know, I could talk all the trash I want behind his back. Yeah, I like gosh, to, you know, listened. As you know, awesome movie year. We go tete-a-tete. So.
Yes, absolutely. The next is the one that I mispronounced last month, and I'm going to probably do it again right now. Chevalier? Is that?
Yeah, you said it was supposed to be good, but then everyone else said it was supposed to be terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's another one that I saw a lot of buzz leading up to it, but I don't know. I love that actor. You know, maybe it's good, but I don't think it's opened here yet. It certainly didn't open in any of our theaters. So.
You know, when you watch a movie and you're like, oh, that should be in the theater, not on streaming. When I saw this one, it was like, oh, that should be on streaming.
Yeah, probably. Well, our next one I did see, we're finally getting to some movies I did see, Ghosted, which is on Apple TV Plus and belongs there. Not very good, but I do have an episode coming.
The best thing about Ghosted was whoever in your popcorn and puzzle pieces group said, I'm pretty sure an AI chatbot wrote this script.
Yeah, it is seriously like that. That is exactly the vibe you get out of that movie. And yeah, not good. Next up is Bo is Afraid, the new Ari Aster film, which I'm recording an episode on this weekend, actually. And I think if you go in wanting the new Ari Aster film, you're probably going to like it. If you don't know what to expect, you're probably not going to like it. Did you see it yet?
No, I didn't see it yet. It's going to take a little while. I know it's a 3-hour movie and I got to pace myself on those things. So.
Yeah, it's not an easy watch, but I enjoyed it a lot. So next up, a very easy watch. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I watched it last night and it's delightful.
Everyone says it's great. Definitely plan on watching that with the kiddo.
Right on. Big George Foreman, not out yet at the time of this recording. At least I don't think so. Certainly haven't seen it in any listings. So that's another one of these movies that just kind of popped up on the lists, but then I've heard nothing.
You got to go. You're the one who has to go.
That's right. Peter Pan and Wendy just came out this weekend on Disney, and I'm hearing good things. I mean, like we said, we're sick of these live-action remakes, but with it being David Lowery, it could be good. I've heard good things mostly.
Ah, Dave, where are you hearing your things? I hear it's boring and tepid and doesn't have, you know, it's like maybe a step up from all these dumb other live-action remakes, but like it's not, doesn't have the spirit of a David Lowery film or anything.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I've seen mostly positive, but at the same time, I kind of just have no interest in it. So I don't know. We'll see if I ever get around to it. But then last up from last month's episode was Sisu, which I'm going this weekend to see, and I can't wait.
It looks awesome. And there's one that we're going to talk about on, or there's one on this list that looks a little like it's a Sisu-esque.
Yes, absolutely. I had that in my notes as well for that movie. So, let's get to the May movies, starting with Knights of the Zodiac, which will be in theaters on May 12th. It's a live-action adaptation of an anime. It seems to be like a modern take on all the ancient gods, and it's very much a superhero-type thing. A lot of young actors that I don't know, but Famke Janssen shows up, and Nick Stahl, and Mark Dacascos, and Sean Bean. So, I don't know. It looks kind of
terrible.
Second
is the
rate.
Word you're looking for, Dave. Yeah, it looks terrible. So. And this is what I mean by when you picked like ones for us to look at. And I'm like, man, we put this in, but the Master Gardener couldn't have made an appearance in the
I don't
top
know when part. It's actually coming out. I can't wait for the Master Gardener, but I can't believe this is going to theaters. Actually, you were just talking about this should have been streaming for one of those other movies. Like, I can't believe this is a theatrical release. It looks so cheap.
I think you're going to watch this and then go back and rewatch Alita Battle Angel right afterwards again. So,
hey, Alita Army, rise up. But,
there you go.
There's some rumblings. There might be a sequel finally.
I heard there's going to be a sequel. Knights of the Zodiac, the first thing you see is a woman, a young woman who's like, I have these visions of the world ending and everything. And it reminded me of Nicolas Cage in Knowing, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Then everything else, you could pick your X-Men or Avengers or Kingsman or whatever team you want to stop and protect this person. So that's it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I got two teams in my puzzle pieces as well. Eternals, because they're all versions of ancient gods and whatnot. And then Justice League, the Zack Snyder Justice League, because that also has lots of Zeus's and all that kind of crap in it. So, yeah, I don't know. Looks really bad. It's a very strange movie. But the next one looks pretty good. Hypnotic. May 12th in theaters from Robert Rodriguez and stars Ben Affleck. After he just finally got back in the director's chair, now we're getting him back in action movies with this crime thriller that has some supernatural elements to it where people can like hypnotize people or something like that.
What I got is there's so first of all, his daughter's kidnapped, right? And then maybe the master criminal says, you have to help me pull off this job if you ever want to see her again. But this criminal, Scott Glenn, right? Is that who's playing the criminal? I
thought it was William Fichtner.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you're right. Do they look alike? Okay. Are those maybe easily too confused? So
possibly.
I don't know. Look it up while I'm talking, telling this story. Anyway, he's got the ability to hypnotize people into like doing what he wants. And he uses that for, you know, to kind of get people to commit crimes or whatever. So or walk in front of a bus, apparently, according to this trailer. But there's another movie called Hypnotic that I looked at the trailer for, and it looked like very similar to this. So I guess that's the theme here. But when you think of Ben Affleck, it's interesting, you know, the daughter's missing. And obviously, as we talked about on Awesome Movie Year, Gone Baby Gone, you know, his first movie is all about trying to solve a case of a missing child. So I went there, and then I thought it had a little Wrath of Man, that Guy Ritchie, you know, bank heist movie where there was more at stake than just a bank heist. And lastly, the idea of being able to hypnotize people into whatever you want obviously brought me to Get Out.
Okay. Obviously to Get Out. That's not what I was going to...
My pieces are all over this month, buddy. We're doing great things. So.
That works. I'm with it. And by the way, it's William Fichtner. But
okay.
Yeah, but I had The Accountant because it's kind of Ben Affleck back in that kind of like just... kind of a pulpy action movie kind of thing again. And then a movie we just talked about, an awesome movie year, I had Dread, kind of just a straightforward action movie that has one character who can do some kind of psychic stuff in it. So I thought that seems like a pretty good comparison.
Sure, why not?
I know you didn't like that movie.
I didn't. I sure didn't.
Everybody else is tearing you apart on the popcorn and puzzle pieces group.
Good.
Jason.
I'll fight them physically or mentally. Any way we need to do it. I know. What a shock. All your cis white male nerds love that movie.
Next up, Book Club, the next chapter.
Yeah!
On May 12th. All right. You're looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candice Bergen, and Mary Steenburgen star in... one of these old ladies behaving badly comedies.
I love it.
Go to Italy to plan a wedding.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are going to love it.
Geography porn, old ladies getting laid, right? You know?
Yep.
I love the thing in the trailer where the chef's like, I would like to pray for you an amuse-bouche. And then Jane Fonda goes, I think someone's bouche is already amused. And I'm like, perfect. You killed it. That's fantastic. So,
hell yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so glad this is a genre. I don't really watch these movies, but I love it. You know, that these women are just getting to have so much fun with each other. And, you know, look, why haven't we talked more about the Golden Girls on this show? We should be talking about the Golden Girls on every show, you know? So I went with that. I went with Let Them All Talk, the Soderbergh one, where the three of them are on the boat across the seas. And then, you know, this last season of White Lotus was all Italy geography porn. So that and a little Diane Lane under the Tuscan sun, maybe some sexual revolutions of their own in this one.
Absolutely. We just used Under the Tuscan Sun on the Mafia Mama episode, which I love that movie. But also I had Mamma Mia on my list, you know, all the same kind of things, the travel, the beautiful sights, the food, the music, all that stuff. And then Gloria Bell, that movie where Julianne Moore just kind of cuts loose. And that seems like a fun one to include here. But yeah, like you said, I mean, this is a very specific subgenre, and I'm sure the audience is going to love this and eat it up.
Are you going to take your mom to see it on Mother's Day?
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Actually, I have to go to, she likes to go see that group Spectrum at the Smith Center, like all the Motown stuff. So yeah, going to see that again.
Talking but about a
then maybe this.
Maybe that amuses her boosh.
God damn it, Jason.
Don't blame Let's me. Blame on. The book club next chapter.
Just for that, we're going to go to Crater on Disney Plus. I don't know what this movie is, but I'm guessing this is some big YA thing. It seems like it. McKenna Grace is in it and a bunch of young kid actors that I don't know. It seems like a coming of age movie on the moon. Is that what you got?
Something similar to that. It's basically the, I don't know if they're on the moon or where they are, but they don't live on Earth. And they're like, tell us about Earth, because one kid's from Earth. And the dad basically sends him on like this space road trip to go check out the crater. And we don't know why. And all these kids like have to work together to do it, right? So it definitely, okay, it's got that feel of Super 8, you know, that kind of whimsical throwback feel. But if we're going to go whimsical and throwback, let's go to the 80s for movies like Space Camp and Stand By Me, you know.
Sure.
The kid, Space Camp, obviously, because of they're going to, you know, learning to go to space, and Stand By Me because, you know, that's kids on an adventure. And yes. I mean, honestly, it also reminded me a little of Lightyear, this whole idea of like, oh, we don't know what Earth is and someone got us out here and now we're stuck here type thing.
Fair enough. Yeah. Did we use Space Camp and Stand By Me as puzzle pieces on Apollo 10 and a half last year? Because that's on my list here.
That's Dave, you, as you know, I remember every single puzzle piece from every single episode. So
you should.
You know, that's how I spend my time cataloging our puzzle pieces. So I'm glad you asked me that question.
Somebody's got to do
Let me get my assistant to pull the file out.
Yeah. So anyway, coming of age movie in a different kind of setting. So yeah, I had that. And then the other one that this kind of reminded me of was Ad Astra, the James Gray movie that like... There's the whole rover scene where they're like driving across like the moon surface or whatever planet it is. And like, you kind of get the feeling this is more of like an introspective drama than it is a action movie, but they certainly sell that moment. Like it's like a big action
movie. I'm going to watch this thing. I'm going to watch it with my daughter, I think, unless like, you know, a week before everyone's like Crater, it needs to be better.
There you go. A review from Josh Bell.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Assassin's Club, which I hadn't even heard of this until one of my guests brought it up on a previous episode and mentioned that it's supposed to be like the worst reviewed movie of the year. And so I was like, we got to talk about this. It'll be on VOD May 16th. And poor Henry Golding is in this one. He stars as an assassin in a network of assassins who are all out to assassinate each other.
In a club.
And in a club, yes. And Sam Neill's also in it, and Noomi Rapace. And I'm curious how bad this thing could possibly be.
I mean, again, we come back to like, you know, this idea of like they're able to cut trailers that like this doesn't look terrible as a trailer, right?
So sure, yeah.
You know, that's where we're at. You know, let's there's also the idea of like this is the last job, right? You know, I'm out. No, you're not out. There's one job and it's complicated. So you know, to stick with our Affleck-y theme, let's go to the town there. And of course, maybe the greatest last job movie ever, Heat. She got a fast and you love it. So, and then sorry, I got a little Pacino in there. Want to know my favorite other line in that movie that no one ever talks about?
Tell me, but a little lower.
Yeah, sorry. Just the way Pacino like delivers it, like there's that guy that they get and they're like, you know, you're going over undercover in the club tonight and you got to get this and we're going to wire you up. And he's like, come on, I could get killed doing that. And Pacino goes, you could get killed walking your dog. And it's just like the way he delivers it is so great. Oh, man. Anyway, did you ever see the last piece I had was, did you ever see Accident Man, the Scott Adkins movie?
No.
It's good. It's literally this, like assassins. All these assassins are trying to kill this assassin, and then he has to kill all the assassins type thing.
Right on. Well, I mean, I obviously had John Wick because of the whole hierarchy of assassins. So, you know, I got that in there. And then also the other big, like really critically maligned as well as not successful at the box office, Henry Golding action vehicle, G.I. Joe's Snake Eyes from a couple years ago that they tried really hard with, and I still think I would like. I never did get around to watching it. It looks like my kind of dumb action, so I don't know. One of these days I'll get to it.
No, you won't. Let's move on.
Let's move on. White Men Can't Jump on Hulu. Why? May 19th.
Why?
Why is the right question? I will say I didn't hate the trailer. Like, it's pointless. Why? Yes. But, like, I don't know. It looks not terrible, but I don't know. I don't know these actors. Well, do you know these actors? Cinque Walls and Jack Harlow?
Jack Harlow is a huge singer for the kids, Dave. So
that's what I heard, and like I have never heard the name until this reboot was announced.
He hosted SNL earlier, maybe like around Halloween, and it wasn't when you watched it, you weren't like, oh man, this is the guy who needs to act. But maybe this is totally different. He looks a little more charismatic in this. But I got to admit, when I was watching it, I was like, why didn't they get Little Dicky to play this part? Like, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And what's the other guy's name?
Cinque Walls.
What's he been in? I don't really know.
Oh, he was in Nanny last year, which was all right. He's going to be in The Blackening, which, why did we cover that on the, that doesn't come out till June. We'll cover that next month. I think that looks good. Resort to Love. I don't know what that is. American Soul. I don't know what that is. Shark Night.
I'm just going to read the whole list of things he's done.
I'm reading until I find something I've heard of. So. But no, nothing.
Do you do that with stores like William Hickey did in Forget Paris? When you're driving down the block, do you just go, Nick's Greek Restaurant?
I actually do.
24-hour dry cleaning.
Q was making fun of me his last time in Vegas because I was doing the same thing. I read signs out loud. I can't help myself.
That's great. Used bookstore? Nikon books? All right, look, and I love the original White Men Can't Jump, so I don't know. Yeah. But this definitely, you know, white guy, black guy, blah, 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 right? Guess who's coming to dinner? You people from last year. But let's go to Silver Streak, Dave. Let's throw a little Wilder Pryor action in there. Get a little juice from one of the greatest pairings of all time of, like, opposite-ended, you know, white guy, black guy, nerd and cool guy things. And then you got to throw a basketball movie in where they're trying to win something. I went with the often overlooked 90s classic Above the Rim.
Ooh, good soundtrack on that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good pieces. Except You People was this year and is still my least favorite movie of the year. I hate it.
I know it's so a terrible much. Movie from this year, yeah. But it feels like, you know, we're playing in the same sandbox here, right?
Absolutely. And then, yeah, to the white guy, black guy dynamic, I put Blind Spotting and Ambulance as two movies where, like, the white guy's a bad influence on the black dude. So, that's kind of really all I got. Otherwise, just obviously just a straightforward, like, trying to recapture that magic for whatever reason. But, we'll see, I guess. At least it's on Hulu.
It's not pretty. It's so pretty, Billy Holt. Why do you think the white guy is a bad influence on him? I didn't get that from this.
You didn't? No. I kind of got that he was like a, I don't know, just like kind of a mess or something, you know? No, maybe not.
I don't know.
That's kind of what I got. But anyway, next up is Kandahar, May 26th, theaters, Gerard Butler's annual action movie.
Yo, can we just dap this guy up? Like, what a... We thought he was gone, and like he just created a whole career for himself in a totally different way than any of us would have known. Like, props to this dude. Yeah. He's his own industry.
Absolutely. And I think they're all relatively inexpensive. They almost always make money. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. He's doing great.
He's found a way to make it. Yeah, just keep making things happen. So
absolutely. So I think this one... first of all, it's the director of Greenland and Angel Has Fallen, two of his, you know, successful movies. And it's about him as a soldier and his translator. They have to, like, fight their way out of Afghanistan. Is that what's happening here?
So basically, they're in Afghanistan. Their cover gets blown on a mission, and they have 30 hours to get to Kandahar for an extraction point, right? And it's like, it's not the drive that's so difficult. It's what you encounter on the drive, right? There are all these, you know, enemies looking for them and, you know, who knows what else.
What do you got for pieces?
Okay. Well, this was an I mean, again, I think we referenced it last month too, but like Homeland, this definitely, I mean, I've definitely seen like, you know, you got to get out, you know, your cover's blown. The same thing happened on that cool series last year, The Old Man with Jeff Bridges and, you know, John Lithgow, The Extraction Point. And Dave, you're going to love these next three because, you know, when you got a long, long way to go and a short time to get there, it's Smokey and the Bandit territory, baby.
Oh, boy. So couldn't help yourself, huh?
I had to throw Smokey in there. I thought, you know, another one of those would be Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We got to get home before, you know, something happens. And of course, the most important puzzle piece is George W. Bush blowing that Spies cover in real life. Because, you know, what a great group of people they were, that Bush administration. Oh. So,
Absolutely. I have as pieces, first of all, great pieces there.
Yeah, but, I told you, this is what I'm bringing, meat, just meat.
You got them, killing it. We have another situation. We talked about how one of the other movies we're going to talk about later feels a lot like Sisu. This felt a lot like Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, another, you know, version of this kind of like getting out of the Middle East and the guy and
his Agreed.
Either guide or translator or whatnot. And then I also put like, I forget if it was Rambo 2 or 3, but whichever one had to get POWs out of the Middle East. So, you know.
It definitely, it's interesting because like I thought of the Guy Ritchie's The Covenant too. It has to have Guy Ritchie's name in there. Yes. But it's, there does feel like a lot of movies that are like dripping into each other in these months right now.
Absolutely. By the way, little tangent, but The Old Man, that show started off so good and just fizzled out so badly in the last couple
I still liked it. I think it, you know, for all the people who did watch it with us, the problem was that they made and Amy Brenneman, great actor, but like they made her so essential to this story where she wasn't essential at all, pretty much. And it like lost the focus of what really was, you know, the story, I think.
Sure.
Or where the sizzle was sense. In there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you said that we're focusing on too many like smaller films and whatnot, things that aren't going to be the big deals. Jason, no, Little Mermaid.
Wait a second. I didn't say smaller. I said crappy. That doesn't, there's crappy. A big difference. Yeah.
Well, I guess then you could say that The Little Mermaid's going to be crappy too, but it's going to make so much fucking money. Let's just say that.
Can we, like, do we assume that, like, one of these live action remakes is going to be good? Like, I don't know which one, but.
Not really.
Can you believe they're already doing a live action remake of Moana? I feel like Moana just came out, dude, you know? So.
Yeah, it's so weird. But this looks terrible. This looks like the worst of the bunch, I think. And I don't know why, because it seems like they're putting a lot of money into it and a lot of effort into it. But everything about the trailer just looks not good.
Dave, you are clearly racist because you just want a white mermaid.
Of course, that's my biggest problem.
You have a lot. Sadly, you have a lot of allies in that. Probably the same people who are happy that George W. Bush released that.
Don't you hate it when you hate something that those people also hate? I'm just like, why do I not like this?
Yeah, and then it turns out because you're also racist. That's why.
I'm sure Halle Bailey is a great actress.
We'll see. We'll see anything. What happens.
Yeah.
I mean. Did you watch The Sea Beast last year?
I didn't, no.
Kind of that idea of like, ooh, what's under the sea? And we don't know, and it could be bad, but it turns out to be good and helpful. Splash. There's the idea of Rapunzel from the original, like, I want this, but I have to give up that for it, you know, type thing. Mm. And then I had one other one in there that I'm sure was great too, Dave. Finding Nemo, because that's a movie where... you know, a character wants to go and explore another world. And, you know, there are other entities trying to prevent that.
We've got the snake eating its own tail now, because obviously that was inspired by Little Mermaid. So, anyway, I just have every major blockbuster that takes place underwater, you know, Aquaman, Avatar, The Way of Water, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, like any of these movies where like we're trying to make a big, huge live action underwater epic. That's what I have for my puzzle pieces here. Otherwise, I don't know what to say about it. It's just The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, we know. We know. Like, we keep getting these, and it's like, blah, 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 blah.
And they make so much money. All right. The next up is, actually, both of the next two are from stand-up comedians, so I'm happy to have you talking about
them. And also are based on, you know, stories that they tell in their act, which are, quote-unquote, real life stories. So this is what I mean where we're bleeding into each other and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. May 26th in theaters, The Machine is the first one from Bert Kreischer. Based on this weird story that he told during his stand-up about a summer vacation in Russia where everything went off the rails and then the Russian mobsters actually come back to get him or something like that.
Yeah, so the story is when I think he's on a school trip or he's on something like that and he doesn't speak, and I think it was like, you know, maybe the end of communism, very stern KGB Russia, right? You know, sure. And like, you know, they're like telling people I haven't watched this thing in a long time, but, you know, they're on a train and they're not going to let anyone go forward or this or that. And he somehow calls himself the machine and then they all take a liking to him. And then he hangs out with like all these Russian mafia people or guards the whole night. And it's this whole crazy story. So that's the story. I thought, you know, okay, that you could even make that the basis for the movie, but they went one further here and they're like 25 years later, the Russian mob's coming to recruit him to do something. And Mark Hamill's there and acting wacky. And I don't know, man, I don't know, you know, but you know, listen, this could like last year, Joe Coy had Easter Sunday, right? Which was kind of like, based on his act and everything, and it made no money, but it doesn't matter because these guys are such huge touring, you know, entities and commodities and whatnot. So we'll see with this. Did you know that Van Wilder is supposed to be based on Bert Kreischer?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, he was the guy who like stayed in college for 8 years and partied in Florida. So I thought that was like a very meta piece. Like, you know, there was a movie based on what he used to do, and now he's basing a movie on a joke that he told about what he used to do that's current. So I had Van Wilder. I already mentioned, Easter Sunday. And then maybe the best of this bunch of like movies based on someone's act is Mike Birbiglia's Sleepwalk With Me. So I have that in there also.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that's a really good one, Sleepwalk With Me, to include on this list. I like that. I will go with, I don't know, my pieces weren't based on the comedy act because I don't know this comedy act particularly. I've heard of Bert Kreischer, but I've never actually seen his full specials or anything. But so I was going with like these kind of just like, you know, people who don't seem like they should be in an action movie kind of thing. I was thinking Nobody. Obviously Bob Odenkirk and A History of Violence, like just somebody who's just like kind of all of a sudden caught up in this big world of violence. And then just for the Russia setting, a couple months ago, Tetris really had a lot of fun with like all the Russian mobsters and all that.
Yeah, I wrote down Nobody also. And that was because of like the idea of like guy with a past that no one knows about or believes. Where was Chairman of the Board, Dave? Where was your carrot top?
That should have been on the list too. So definitely. All right. Well, the other stand-up comedy based movie about my father, and this is Sebastian Maniscalco. And see, now here's another thing. I know Bert Kreischer. I did not know this guy at all. I've never heard of him.
Sebastian, he talks like this. You gotta have a nice wedge in your heel. If you read Sebastian's, I covered him once for a magazine, and I think what I said was like, if you just read his jokes written down, you'd be like, I don't see what's funny. It's so much of it is in the performance and the delivery and the dramatic pauses, you know, and all that stuff. So, but he's big in like, you know, I grew up in Illinois. It was a family, you know. There was a whole bit he did about how like, you know, his mom always had cake in case like somebody popped in, and it's like, if I wanted to eat the cake, she'd be like, no, it's in case someone comes over, you know, and everything like that. So But yeah, he's another huge touring comic and just killing it right now. And this, I guess, is kind of based on the idea of like his immigrant father not fitting in with whites Americans.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. And I mean, it's great to get De Niro in something like this. I mean, this is, he loves doing these movies.
He does. So he loves being the dirty grandpa or like, you know, but you know, so in the preview, I got to say, there was already, as we've established, I hate things that defy logic just for a punchline or a convenience. And right at one point, like, so they go to like, his fiance's, estate or his fiance's parents' estate, right? You know, so right off the bat, we're in Wedding Crashers territory right here, right? And interestingly enough, like the fiance's parents are like the, you know, kind of upstanding white people, where De Niro had actually done that in like Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents. So now he's doing the reversal of that, right? You know, what bothered me is the idea at one point he goes, I'd like to cook an Italian feast for you, you know? And then like, they're like, well, we don't have much in the kitchen. And he's like, I can make it work with anything. You know, I heard things. Right. And so, so what he does is he makes spaghetti and then he, apparently, kills one of the family member's pet peacock and serves it in the meal. And it's like, we don't have much in the kitchen. And it's like, well, you eat every day. You're rich people. There's probably a market around or you can get other things there. And it's just like, you just did this so he can murder a peacock. And I it was just like, I don't know, man. So
they were really committed to the peacock bit in that trailer. Like it was like the crux of the whole thing was that peacock.
Yeah.
Bit. If that doesn't sell you on the movie, then you're not showing up. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't think this looked very good, but I mean, I also had Meet the Parents on my list here. And the other one I put was Daddy's Home, the Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg comedy, which, you know, kind of has like the tough guy, wacky, you know, cool guy kind of thing going on. So yeah, both of those, but yeah, I don't know. This one just doesn't seem, it maybe if I knew this guy's act, it would appeal to me more.
Two things about that. One, it's interesting because Sebastian is very macho in his act, right? So like, he's got to like be the toned down version. So De Niro can be like the heightened version of it. So
sure,
we'll see if that goes anywhere. Also, I was going to, did you ever watch Bebe's Kids, the Robin Harris movie?
No,
yeah,
I haven't.
He was a very famous comedian in the 90s. And I think he had a whole series of jokes of, you know, Bebe's Kids, all these, you know, kids, and they made an animated movie about it. And sadly, he died like right at the time of it coming out and everything.
Huh. Yeah, no, I have never seen this, but sounds kind of fun. Faison Love was in the animated show.
You're just going to read off lists today. I think that should be your new podcast. You just recording yourself in the car going like, you know. Just U.S.
my
Bank
going
Trader Joe's open till 9 p.m.
Says here, echo cancellation is off. All right, let's go to our last main movie for the month. Blood and Gold on Netflix, May 26th. Obviously, the one we were mentioning was Sisu. But this is a movie about a Nazi deserter who's left to die, and then he gets rescued by this woman, and the two of them decide to fight back against all the rest of the Nazis, and there's a killer painted black cover in the score, and yeah, I don't know. It looks really fun.
It looks wild and crazy, and Sisu and Inglourious Basterds were like the two right there, right?
Exactly. That's what I had as well. I mean, you don't really have to go any further. It's right there in that perfect little subgenre of killing Nazis action movies. So
yeah.
I'm in. So other movies, let's just kind of run through really quickly. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, I'm already doing an episode on. I saw it last night. Freaking rules. Fast X, the new Fast and Furious movie.
Stop. Is this the end or is this just another reason to reboot? Leave me alone.
It is the end. They're doing one more after this, and then
that's not the end. We'll there was one more after this.
Well, no, it's this one part two. They're specifically calling it part two. Then there's The Mother with J-Lo, an action movie on Netflix on May 12th, which Hey, J-Lo does some good stuff here and there.
J-Lo could have, I always felt like, you know, out of sight, you know, she could have been a big action star. So I was kind of excited about this one, you know?
Absolutely. So like I said, at the beginning of the episode, there's a lot of limited releases that may or may not be coming out in May. I'm not quite sure when we'll actually see them. Are there any that like kind of stuck out that you wanted to bring up?
This is what I mean. Like most of these stuck out, I thought, right? You know, there's Fool's Paradise, which is the first written and directed feature by Charlie Day, which I don't know if it looks good. It looks somewhat insane to me, you know?
Yeah, like, it does.
But that's okay. The Blackberry trailer actually looked pretty good as far as like another one of these, like we just had Air come out, another telling of like a device or a, you know, cultural materialistic thing.
And the It's Always Sunny connection between our first two movies right there. So
what was this?
Charlie Day and the one you just brought
is
up.
Is he in Blackberry?
No, Blackberry stars Glenn Howerton.
Oh, that's right. In a totally different role. That's right. Yeah, he did such a good job. I completely just overlooked that.
Yeah,
right?
You don't even recognize him. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sanctuary looks insane. That looks super fun. Where, what's his name? Is it Charlie Abbott or Chris Abbott?
Christopher Abbott. Yeah, that's and Margaret Qualley.
Right, Chris Abbott. Yeah. So this looks fun. It's Chris Abbott and Margaret Qualley, and she's like a dominatrix to him, which is, you know, how he kind of is able to function. He needs this to release whatever he needs to release, and then he gets a huge job with a huge salary, and she's like, well, I'm gonna, you know, make public what we do unless you you know, kind of pay me half the money. It looks like it's all in one room, and it looks like crazy and fun and interesting. And I'm glad that the actors, you know, that we're making these movies and taking roles like this. The Tutor also looks good, right? A little kind of Gone Girl situation about a rich kid who is kind of, I don't know, what would be the word I'm using? You know, he's beating himself up to make it look like the tutor beat him up, and he's getting involved in his life, and it's like a fatal attraction thing. And that looks good.
Could be really interesting.
Right. Yeah. And as I said, the Master Gardener, anytime Paul Schrader's got something. And this one looks pretty darn good also. So.
Yeah. The other one I would mention from the overall list that we had there, the Starling Girl, which I know Gina's like really looking forward to. You know, it's kind of like one of these fundamentalist community type thrillers, and Eliza Scanlon's in it, and she's great. So I think that looks like it's gonna be really good too.
Yeah, that does look good. I agree. That was at Sundance, and we'll see where it goes.
Right on. Well, that is our list for May. Jason, is there something you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Dave, what did I watch recently? Let me vamp for time. Dave, do an impression so I can look up my letterbox and see if there's... Man, I'm telling you, you know, it's funny we mentioned Josh because, like, we were talking the other day about how you guys have your, you know, best of the half year coming up, you know? And he was like, I think my list would be very short. And I go, I think my list would not exist at this point. So
you got nothing.
I really don't. But I mean, I know there's some good stuff that you guys have mentioned recently. So let's see. Where am I, Dave? Really nothing. Nothing. I'm looking at my my letterbox, and it's like there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing that I've watched recently.
So. Well, you know what? I've watched a bunch of great movies. So, you know, just watch one of the ones we just covered on Piecing It Together recently. So anyway, where can people find Awesome Movie Year?
Of course, we're at awesomemovieyear.com, Awesome Movie Year on Facebook and Instagram, Awesome Movie Pod on Twitter. Why are we still on Twitter, Dave? Who knows? But yeah, and then I'm just Jason Harris Comedy or Eat This Comedy on the things.
Right on. Well, Jason, thanks as always for doing the show.
Dave, I'm happy to make your thing legitimate and give you some... Leave me alone.
I'm Josh Bell.
And I'm Jason Harris, and we co-host a podcast called Awesome Movie Year.
Each season, we take a look back at an awesome year for movies, which is every year.
We deep dive into these specific years, and we pick out why they were such great years for films. We go over the biggest hits, the biggest flops, the best picture, some personal picks, some cult classics.
Years we've covered in past seasons include 1994, 2003, 1977, and 1984, and we've got all of film history to look forward to. So check us out at awesomemovieyear.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about some of the movies coming in May 2023. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Jason Harris for joining me on that one. And make sure you're checking out Awesome Movie Year, Jason's podcast, which is about to start its next season. We also just recorded a new bonus episode of Awesome Movie Year, which will be for now on the Patreon. And there's lots of other great content on the Patreon. So if you want to support Piecing It Together, Awesome Movie Year, and my music career, you could check it out. It's the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from all of these podcasts and my music. And you can check out right now at patreon.com/bydavidrosen. Lots of great stuff. We do appreciate your support. Also, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media at PiecingPod. And join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. Last but not least, if you are enjoying Piecing It Together, make sure to drop us 5 stars wherever it is that you're listening, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Good Pods. It helps make sure that more people check out the show. So drop those 5 stars, and I do appreciate that. Let's close this out with a piece of music like I always do. And this past month, I released a new music video for a song from my latest album, More Content. It's called Ascending. And I know I've played this on the show a few times in the past, but I want to spread the word a little more about the new music video. So let's play Ascending, and there will be a link in the show notes to where you can check out the music video for Ascending, which is an animated film, and I directed and edited and wrote, and I hope you check it out. It's over on my YouTube channel, the Music by David Rosen YouTube channel. So I hope you enjoy Ascending, and we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.